We'll hear argument now in the case of Varner against Johnson.
May it please
Ms.
the Court, Tom Paris on behalf of the plaintiff. Thank you for your time this morning. We realize that there are more important and bigger matters than this one. Judge,
no more important or bigger matters than to a litigant in this case.
Thank you. A trial lawyer, any trial lawyer, is presented with certain facts, much more than developing them. In this case, I was presented with competing theories as to how this ice arose. There was little question that there was ice that the plaintiff slipped on. Indeed, Roger Taylor acknowledges as much in his written statement, which has been made part of the record. Really, the question comes is, how did that ice get there, and is there a legal liability for it? The competing theories, this photograph, as well as the rest of the evidence, points out, is that perhaps the station attendant washed this down, perhaps it leaked from the roof above. Both of those theories have defenses and problems to them. But given Mr. Shipman, a lawyer who I think was rather articulate and probably has above average in terms of observation skills, particularly since he's a defense lawyer who handles these kind of matters, his testimony and the absence of any denial by Roger Taylor, the case, in my view, cried out for an argument that this was created by the defendant as opposed to a theory of it just naturally occurring or leaking. Indeed, the leaking from the canopy theory that I considered has its own problems with Illinois law in terms of natural and unnatural accumulation. And so from the very outset, I framed in the complaint a theory set forth in the beginning as the creation, that the defendant created this. It alleviates lots of problems that a plaintiff has to deal with in terms of an ICE case in this state, and it alleviates notice problems as well. At summary judgment and throughout the case, I developed that theory. At trial, I began to head in that direction. In fact, that's the way I was heading. But as the record makes clear, throughout that, I was frustrated by the trial court's feeling that there was insufficient evidence to show that this pink stuff was anything but Kool-Aid and unassociated with the defendant's business, that nobody said that they saw somebody spill some automotive fluid out there. There was no bucket of water. All of those, I suggest, are reasonable inferences which can be drawn from the facts, and I should have been able to argue. Unable to make those arguments because there was no jury instruction that would allow me to say that the defendant caused or permitted, and really it was caused, the creation that I was trying to go with. I was forced to, in my view, a much lesser theory, that this was a patch of ice that existed and it had no basis in nature, and therefore all of the six elements which are required for a plaintiff to prove had been proven. The jury found for the defendant, and I feel that had I been able to argue those, obviously they had a much better chance. I think there are three cases which this court has delivered in the last few years: Peterson versus Walmart, Lane versus Hardee's, and Howard versus Walmart, which set forth that it's a rather low threshold that I needed to arrive at. There was some foreign material related to the defendant's business, and here there's this pinkish substance, which two witnesses testified to being in the area where Dr. Varner fell, which I think it's reasonable to believe was automotive fluid of some sort, and then some evidence that the defendant was responsible. There's this large patch of water.
Responsible for not cleaning it up, you mean?
Yes. That they're in some way responsible for the creation of this.
Well, creation, something spills out of a car when somebody's still in their tank or something or whatever. Obviously, the guy inside didn't go out there and dump it.
Indeed, if that were simply the case, and that's not the case I presented, that he slipped just on slippery oil, but instead that he slipped on ice, the defendant would have to have notice, and I would need to prove that it was there with their notice or constructive notice. The case I went with was ice. because this patch of water, patch of ice, which was testified to by Mr. Shipman, and I believe is evidence in the photo, there was a patch of ice. The second prong there is some evidence that the defendant is responsible. If one gets to that point, and I believe that we did, a creation theory as opposed to strictly forcing me into the natural, unnatural accumulation of ice and all the elements which have to be proved, some of which are very significant, which would have been avoided, I could have argued that case. I didn't. I had to argue simply a natural accumulation of ice. I think, given Mr. Shipman's testimony, when he talks about what he saw, he says, and I quote, and I have it on page 5 of the brief, it's what happens if you pour water when it's freezing on a piece of pavement. It was not snow or slush that had been compacted or driven over. It was just clear ice, and there was a pinkish or reddish material that was part of it. It wasn't all a constant hue, but it looked like someone had poured water to try to wash away the pinkish or reddish fluid. Now, this is right in front of the doorway of the station. Could somebody else have poured water on it to try to wash away this pinkish? Yes, that's a reasonable inference the jury could have gone with, but likewise, I think it's a reasonable inference that an employee did this, created it. Had I been able to argue that, the set of instructions that I had proffered would not have been stricken.
Did you take a deposition of the employee?
I did not, Your Honor. He was gone. They could never produce him. All we had was Roger Taylor's statement from that day, the handwritten statement that he produced. So I have nothing else in us supporting one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Paris.
Thank you.
Ms. Torres.
Good morning, may please the court, counsel. The issue before this court is actually a very narrow issue, and that's whether or not there was any evidence to submit to the jury the issue of whether or not there was and a natural accumulation of ice caused by the defendant. As counsel has stated, this is just an ice case. They've never presented any evidence that the defendant caused ice to accumulate. Under the unnatural accumulation theories, there must be evidence, not that somebody else created it, but the defendant himself, actually or herself in this case, actually created the ice or created the condition that created the ice. We don't have those facts before us. The plaintiff's brief had addressed the issue of foreign substances, and he's also cited his three cases today, the two Walmart cases and the Hardy case, for the proposition that this court should be looking to those foreign substance cases to determine whether or not the court erred. Those cases really had no bearing on a snow and ice case. There's a different standard that applies with foreign substance cases than with snow and ice. In an ice case, there's a presumption that there is no duty to remove natural accumulations of snow and ice. With a foreign substance case, obviously we have different standards. You have the duty to avoid foreign substance, you have the duty to remediate, all sorts of duties combined with that issue. Those don't come into play in this case. We're right back to a situation where it's a winter day, nobody knows who, may have poured some water out, or water could have just flown off of the car and frozen onto the ground. We don't know what happened.
Are you saying that he didn't plead any kind of foreign substance claim?
No, it was not pled. It was not argued to the court in the jury instructions. There was never even a jury instruction submitted on a foreign substance case.
There wasn't any proffered evidence with regard to it?
No. There's no. Plaintiff's counsel said in his brief that there was ice / oil in the substance that was on the ground. There's no testimony that there was any oil or any other foreign substance that the plaintiff slipped on. There was testimony that there was a pinkish substance that looked like somebody had washed off, but again, the testimony wasn't that the plaintiff slipped on the pinkish foreign substance, but that he actually slipped on the patch of ice that was covering whatever that alleged substance was.
The temperature is understood is about 30 degrees.
Then. Yes, sir.
So you're not going to have an instant freeze if something falls on the ground.
No, it's possible that it happens sometimes throughout the night. But again, the cases for that natural accumulation hold that even if somebody brings in water off their car or they drag it in with their feet or they shake out their coat, whatever the reason is, unless the defendant created that snow and ice, he has no obligation to remediate and remove that natural occurrence. Plaintiff's counsel has also, in his reply brief, cited to various jury instructions very briefly. Those jury instructions are pretty much irrelevant since they were never presented to the district court, and I don't believe those need to be considered. And finally, just the last point that I would like to make with respect to the reply brief. In his closing paragraph, the plaintiff's counsel has argued that this court should remand with direction that the district court instruct the jury with three issues. First, that the defendant caused the unnatural accumulation. That's the issue that we've already addressed. But the second one was that somebody else caused the ice to form and we saw it and did nothing to stop it. Initially, there's no evidence that we saw anybody actually pour water out there. But secondly, and more importantly, in the snow and ice case, again, there's just no duty to remediate. So even if we were aware of ice, there's still, the duty just isn't there. It's Illinois. There's ice in the wintertime at all hours of the night.
In that regard, in whatever you call it, self-service,
yes,
gas station, whatever, it's one thing I know in parking lots and other places where people drive in and out, and once you go plow it, suddenly you incur a problem because you took away the natural accumulations and now you've got it remediated and somebody slips on that. But what is the, I guess, the common procedure in a self-service gas station of getting the snow away from the pumps or doing one thing or another? There's no presumption, I guess, that somebody has to kind of keep it clean.
You know, honestly, I don't know what the procedures are as far as what goes through, practically speaking, as far as cleaning the areas within the gas station's perimeter. But I do know that there are lots of cases on the books from common carriers and situations where people are actually on a premises that ends up being more or less like an outdoor premises where there still is no duty to actually clean away the snow and ice. I can actually cite to you one case, the Phil Pot case versus Midway Airlines. I'm not completely sure whether or not I cited to it in my brief, but I do know that that's a case involving O'Hare where passengers get off of an airplane. They have to transverse the airplane parkway in order to go into the terminal. In those situations, the courts have even held that there is no duty to clear the runways of snow and ice for the passengers. There's similar cases in the busing areas. Even when people bring snow and ice into grocery stores, again, if the defendant does something negligent, it's one thing. But just the sheer fact that people are bringing in snow and ice and it's freezing and it's causing difficult climatic conditions for the pedestrians, there's still no duty to remediate. The panel has nothing further, I'll ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Torres. Anything further, Mr. Torres?
Counsel's most compelling argument today, and I believe presented in their brief, as to whether there is some foreign substance subset of rules like there is for a natural or unnatural accumulation of ice, submit that Illinois jury instructions do not have anything along those lines. And as to whether this was a foreign substance, the case, the Hardee's case, which this court considered only a couple years ago, Lane versus Hardee's, it was water that the plaintiff slipped on. Here, it's water frozen that the plaintiff slipped on, in my view, poured out there by the defendant, and if not with their notice, but I believe by the defendant. Why we would make this distinction of water being tossed on a driveway and freezing having a different set of rules than water being mopped inside of a tiled store is unsupported, I believe, by case
law. Well, that's the natural accumulation issue, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, obviously, if there's water on the floor inside, even if the roof leaks, somebody spills it. So they have sort of a duty to clean it up if you've got invitees in there walking. That's at least the distinction I understand.
But Illinois law clearly recognizes that tracked in water also falls within this unnatural accumulation.
Yeah.
The cases are legion in terms of if you track in the snow and it melts, it's still unnatural. And you don't have to deal with this whether this is foreign or not. My view is, was it created by the defendant? Was there some evidence Was the material related to the defendant's business? Was there some evidence that they created? I believe that we met that standard, although we were not able to have the jury instructed and consequently unable to argue that theory. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Parris. The case will be taken under advisement.